Boeing, for a very long time, has been at the center of the U.S. imperial project.
That old thing.
It's deep in the military-industrial complex. Yeah. You know, all the plane
and
stuff.
So
is. Yes, it sort of is the military-industrial complex.
It's the industrial in the military-industrial complex.
Not the military.
That I used to refer to a lot of companies. Now it mainly refers to Boeing.
Well, Boeing's not been the same since Kenneth Pinion left.
Now,
I lost a true expert that day.
What I'm also driving at is their headlines you've been reading about commercial airliners are about 1/1000th of the problems that they've been experiencing. And I alluded to this earlier, largely because they decided to really live American capitalism.
You are in Yemen and the XM-59 puppy killer that's like circling you just fails to work and then falls on you.
Yeah, and that was so a private equity guy could, you know, build a bigger island. So
yeah.
I suppose, we can talk about all of this. It's also worth saying, like, I don't think that, like, I think the company that makes the commercial airliners should make the commercial airliners good. I think that
the investors would disagree with you on that one.
Even though
they fly commercial too.
People think that the XM-59 puppy killer is named after its targets, but it's actually named after the fursona of the guy controlling it.
However, also like Boeing failing to produce things like November, we were talking about this earlier. You said they have what, like 1,000 like fighter jets back ordered for different carriers. Like they're just not making
civil and the military. Like there are huge queues. Like Boeing owes people hundreds of planes, not to mention like other ancillary stuff. Yeah. And because this stuff is so compartmentalized, and because like Boeing has subsumed so many of its American competitors, both on the civil and the military side, there's not really other places you can go for this a lot of the time.
So if anything, what we would say is asset management as a professional industry and training managers to respond to the demands of asset managers has essentially done the closest thing to Maoist third worldism on the American military.
Degrowth
this just goes back to Bill Ackman's daughter speaking in Maoist standard English.
Yeah.
Like some hedge fund manager just always like a hedge fund manager basically like joining Black Hammer or talking about like America.
I tried to navigate the VOR for this airport that I'm supposed to land my Boeing airliner at, and it just called me a cracker.
Yeah.
Right. So.
Yeah. 3 K's and an A at the end.
So, yeah. Like Uncle Cracker.
Can you, Roz, give us just like from what I've just outlined, what exactly happened to take them from the single most important cog in the U.S. military machine to the single most broken cog in the U.S. military machine and also commercial aviation?
So like from memory, I keep in mind, I'm not the biggest plane guy, but I do know sort of what happened here. This is mostly going from memory. We got to sort of look at Boeing as a builder of planes with legendary reliability, a builder of planes, which, you know, have been trusted by airlines, by the traveling public for, you know, more than half a century at this point. In the early 90s, they merged with this company, McDonnell Douglas, which had been known for building a lot of lemons at that point. You know, McDonnell Douglas sort of in the process of this merger, through the sort of the way that, you know, things work out through mergers, most of the McDonnell Douglas management wound up on top here. McDonnell Douglas had sort of a different opinion about how planes should be built, which was that, okay, we're a company that makes money, not airplanes. So they sort of, you know, they're controlled by MBA guys, widget guys, you know, and so they sort of start making decisions which change the culture of the company. They do things like they move the headquarters from Seattle to Chicago. They do things like, you know, we're going to start focusing on cost cutting everywhere. We're going to do things like spin off parts of the company, like for example, where the fuselage of the plane is built was in a facility in Wichita. The fuselage is like the part, you know, where the seats are, where everyone sits. So they decided, we're not a company that builds planes. We're a company that assembles planes. So they decided to spin off the entire part of the company that builds the planes into something else called Spirit Aerosystems. You know, and that's, you know, a fun way that you can, I don't know, fiddle with the numbers a bit while still maintaining sort of a similar supply chain.
Yeah, and you have all of that, you have all that, you know, useful like in-house knowledge, and then you sort of like hive that off, and it then becomes like,
oh yeah, fuck yeah. Those guys. Yeah, they also did a lot of union busting. They tried to move production out from Renton to places like, I want to say, Wilmington, North Carolina, which has a less strong union culture, although I believe that plant is trying to unionize just because you should get a union.
I think there's also this thing of when McDonnell Douglas and Boeing merge, it's not surprising, right, that the guys who are smarmy business operators who all went to Harvard outfoxed all of the guys who are like, I have had the same haircut for 40 years and I design planes.
The slide rule guys. Yeah.
If my engineers say there's a problem, I can walk across the street into the factory and see what's happening.
This is the thing. That's what they teach you at Harvard Business School. You know, you read that book, you can outwit it.
Never do that.
And of course, the one man nobody ever thinks about, Douglas McDonald, the inventor of the Joby.
So basically, so early. Boeing's problems, as you say, a big problem was this merger with McDonnell Douglas in 1997 and the takeover of the plane company by the manager company, basically. And also the moving to Chicago. I looked into it. It was basically just they were bribed with tax credits to just. And again, it's how poorly. If I were the head of Chinese intelligence in 1997, and I convinced Boeing to just split up all of its manufacturing processes, to put like useless MBA consulting people in all of the powerful roles, and just like hive off all of that knowledge, I would be given like, that would be the greatest act of espionage that could ever be perpetrated, would be making Boeing follow the rules of American capitalism as they apply to other companies, essentially.
See, the issue is the Chinese airlines all use Boeings. So they're getting fucked over too.
Again, there's basically two companies that do this. You can either get it from Boeing, you can get it from Airbus, and then all of the other stuff is like, I mean, there's fucking Embraer and like Bombardier and whatever, but like
Embraer, yeah. Bombardier.
You can buy a Sukhoi Superjet if you're feeling fruity.
It's true, and I often am.
I mean, they don't have a great reliability record.
Don't they use like General Electric engines?
I'm just like I can see daylight through the floor.
If you want to go on a plane issue that sucks you off, Russian Airlines wouldn't be a bad choice.
That's why they call it the Sukhoi.
Get a nice Ilyushin or what's the other one? A Tupolev, so, yeah.
After 2003, the new CEO, Harry Stonecipher, took over.
Wow, and then what
said,
a name.
He said, I want to run Boeing like a business rather than a great engineering firm, which is exactly what he did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So... my understanding of how plane design works is very occasionally you will build an entirely new airframe. You will then upgrade elements of it until the sort of basic design becomes obsolete. You'll build a new airframe that incorporates all of the developments in aviation up to that point and then begin upgrading that. Now, what Boeing started doing at this point, I believe their last new airframe was created the design from blank paper airplane was, I believe, was in 2004.
The 787, yeah. The first carbon fiber composite airframe that was built.
When it was time to replace the 727, 737 and 757, They didn't design any new airliner. They didn't design anything new.
It's very simple. The first plane that you make is the Boeing 1. Next one, Boeing 2. Stop throwing sevens in there.
Right. Instead of doing all of that, sort of rebuilding that format of airliner with the sort of the 2-2, the 3-2, etc. They just basically slapped a new coat of paint in the older models and returned the cash to shareholders.